The lesson today is from John, chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Well, come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathan asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathan declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the tree. You will see greater things than that." And he added, "Truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Word of God for the people of God.
Last week we began our sermon series titled Back to Basics. We're looking at our faith in the teachings of Jesus, trying to simplify our understanding just a little bit. There are times in all of our lives where we complicate the situation far more than is necessary. As my mother used to say, "You're making a mountain out of a molehill." We can make a far bigger problem out of a situation than it really is called for. Our faith certainly does not withstand our ability to complicate our lives, our minds, and our relationships. Last week we examined Jesus' baptism as a way to join the work that God is doing in the world, and to remember who we are as a place to start, that we are children of God. We started at the very beginning, a very good place to start, with our core identity rooted in Christ and God. So last week we looked at who. Today, let's look at what. Last week, after service, someone came to me and recapped my sermon this way, saying, "Our baptism is not just a passive event. It leads us to action, just as it led Jesus to action." After Jesus was baptized, he went to work on his mission by seeking out his disciples. How many of us have ever had something we expected to go a certain way only for it to turn out differently? I know that I have, and I dare say that we probably all have. We expect God to act a certain way, and we might miss God's presence if we aren't paying close attention at times. I've told you before that I grew up in Greene, New York. Now, Greene is hardly a blip on the radar. Not much exists in Greene at all. Growing up, I think we had 3 total traffic lights, and I think today they've doubled it to 6. If you hold your breath, you can probably get from border to border. No, not really, but it's really small. Not much happens in Greene. However, if you've ever shopped at Lowe's or Home Depot, you have in some very small way supported my hometown. You see, every Lowe's and Home Depot in the country uses forklift trucks with red and black paint on them and the word Raymond scrawled on the side. It goes, I believe, from bottom to top, and it goes upward. Raymond Corporation is a major distributor of forklifts in the world, and it is headquartered right directly next to the high school where I graduated from 20 years ago. Aside from that, there isn't really a whole lot there in my hometown of Greene, New York. If you want more than just the very basics, you have to drive at least 20 minutes away to Binghamton, which is the next big city closest to Greene. Many people in my hometown likely live in or very close to the poverty line. Seeing my hometown on most days, one might find themselves asking, "Ugh, can anything good come out of there?" Our scripture today tells us that when Jesus found Philip, he said, "Come and follow me." Philip then went to Nathanael and told Nathanael that he had found the Messiah, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael scoffs at Philip, saying, "Can anything really come out of Nazareth?" When Jesus meets Nathanael, he already knows Nathanael, and this blows Nathanael away. He stops him in his tracks. Jesus then does a mic drop moment, in a sense, with Nathanael and Philip. He basically says to them, "You think that's amazing? You think it's amazing that I already know you? Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. What good can come out of Nazareth? The prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And in fact, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But he grew up in Nazareth. Joseph was from Bethlehem, but he and Mary had moved away. And I don't think that's particularly a hard thing for us to understand. Many of us are not native Utahans. We have moved here later in our lives. We don't know a whole lot about Nazareth to this day. You see, there isn't an awful lot of archaeological record or historical significance that has been discovered to date. It's just a small town in a group of other small towns. It's really no wonder, that Nathanael might be a little bit skeptical upon hearing that Philip has found the Messiah, the Savior, who is from Nazareth. Have you ever felt like you couldn't do something or be somebody because of where you were from or the family history that you hold? Have you ever said to yourself, "I can't do that. Not somebody like me. Not someone with my background or limited experience or someone who's fill in the blank." We often will disqualify ourselves from the calling that God has for us because we feel that we aren't good enough. We disqualify ourselves before we even start. "I'm not from the right place. I don't have the right polished presentation. I can't lead and do that thing, God." Sometimes we look at something and we have an expectation of how God is going to show up. We have an expectation and an image in our mind about how God's going to show up to something. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was encouraged by his friend George Whitefield to begin field preaching. And that is quite simply what it sounds like, preaching in an open field, an open air field. When Wesley was alive, that was considered a vile, vulgar, and offensive thing to do. more than just a social faux pas at the time, if you will. It was believed that worship of God should only take place in a holy, sacred sanctuary. Worship should only be done very formally and properly. In Wesley's day, churches would charge money for a seat in God's house. Literally, your family would have your name on the back of a pew if you had enough money to get that seat. The more money you had, the better your seat. Those with less money got the cheap seats with poor acoustics or poor view if they got a seat in the house at all. The gospel was only getting to a certain number of people because of this reason. Because only a limited number of people were allowed in, God's message and God's love was only being told to a certain number of people. George Whitefield emboldens John Wesley to start open-air preaching for months until he finally relents. "Fine, I'll do it," he says. Wesley isn't exactly excited about this, but he decides to appease his friend. What on earth good can come out of preaching in a dirty field? Wesley wrote in his journal dated March 31st, 1740. In the evening, I reached Bristol and met Mr. Whitefield there. I could scarce reconcile myself at first to this strange way of preaching in the fields, of which he set me an example on Sunday. Having been all my life till very late so tenacious of every point relating to decency and order that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church. He had such a crowd that day that he goes on to say this. Quote, "At 4 PM, I submitted myself to be, quote, more vile, and proclaimed in the highways the glad tidings of salvation, speaking from a little eminence in a ground adjoining to the city, to about 3,000 people. The scripture on which I spoke was this, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Wesley thought if field preaching was considered vile and yet God was going to bring 3,000 people in a single day to join the movement of God in the world, then he was going to avail himself to being considered more vile for God's glory. In a nutshell, I will set aside my preconceived notions about who I believe God is and how God works in the world in order to be a part of what God is doing in this very place on this very day. Wesley's movement at the time is said to have prevented England from falling into a deep social class system that was happening in France at that very time. The Methodist movement had a deep social impact, even contributing to the abolishment of slavery at that time. One of Wesley's final letters in his life was to William Wilberforce, encouraging him to keep working to end slavery. Wesley became one of the most recognizable people in England in his day. He could hardly walk the streets of England, of London rather, without somebody recognizing exactly who he was. It was almost as if the President of the United States walked in and people knew exactly who he was at that moment. All of this historical impact started when John Wesley was willing to preach outside to a group of nobodies, the lowliest of the low of society. He was willing to do something different and in a new way. Imagine with me what might have happened if Nathanael had ultimately said no to Philip. He could have missed meeting Jesus and changing the whole trajectory of the rest of his life. Imagine if he had stuck to his understanding that nothing good could come out of Nazareth. If he had said no, he wouldn't have any idea, or we wouldn't have any idea who he was in all likelihood. He would have just been another person in the annals of history that probably wouldn't have gone named. Because he was willing to be wrong and to see what God could work, see that God could work outside of where he assumed God could work or could be working or should be working. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Maybe the better question today is, can anything good come out of West Jordan, Utah? Can anything good come out of, you fill in the blank. Can anything really good come out of streaming our services online live? I think so. Can anything good come out of having church in an unremarkable storefront down on 90th South in West Jordan? That's the story of that's the story of Mountain Vista United Methodist Church. A little more than 20 years ago, this very congregation was meeting over by where Reem's store is today, a mile or two away, singing with the choir in a storefront, and people believed, quote, this is church. There were some in our community who probably thought, they're pretty weird. However, there were some in our midst today who were there 20 plus years ago who believed that it could happen, that something good could come out of meeting as a church in a storefront on 90th South a mile or two away. Look at you now. Look at what has come out of a church meeting in a storefront in the late 90s and early 2000s. Sure, we have our own building now, and that's a great thing. But look at the ministries that God has enlivened in us. Quilting Ministry donates, I don't even know how many quilts a year, to people needing love and care. Donna, do you have any sense for how many quilts you make a year? 100 to 150. In a normal year, COVID aside, 100 to 150 children in Utah are given God's love through a quilt. That's in a normal year. Donna tells me that it has tripled. We're talking almost 500 blankets a year. Children are receiving the good news of God's love for them because people are willing to share their gifts. What good can come out of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Let God show you through the life. Let God show you through the life of the very person you gave hope to when they ate for the first time in 3 days. What good can come out of a church rummage sale where people literally bring us their junk for free? Nearly $2,000 that can be used to further the work of God through this church. That's what. We made money on other people's stuff that they happily gave to us without a second thought, knowing that we were going to make money on it. What good can come out of Mountain Vista United Methodist Church? If God can take fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and Pharisees with their own harried past to become the earliest church leaders and missionaries and pastors and preachers, if God can use John Wesley's preaching in an open field in the outskirts of London, England, if God can use a bologna sandwich and junk from a rummage sale, if God can use a little country boy from podunk nowhere in upstate New York, then what can God do with you? Maybe the better question is, what does God want to do with you? What's that one thing that you've always thought, you know what? I think there's an opportunity to minister to others through you fill in the blank. And I love it when somebody comes up to me and suggests that the church needs XYZ ministry. I say, great, get it started. But you're the pastor. No, you're the one that's passionate about this. Run with it. I'm working. How can I help you facilitate this ministry? Trust that God is at work in you. God has called you, beloved church. When I was about 4 years old or so, my church had this idea that they wanted to bring people together in fellowship in the community. They started the annual Apple Festival out of the parking lot of the church and offered apple pies as a fundraiser for the church. And the choir sang songs and they drew in a few people that first year. They invited others in the community and other churches to be a part of it the next year. And 35 years later, my tiny little United Methodist Church in Green, New York, and the other green area churches managed to gather thousands of people in a single day. They gather thousands of people in our community, Ball Flats, where there is a craft fair and games and booths with everything Apple, and the choir still sings their songs and they sell crafts and they have a car show. It's just a great time. You get to see the people that you don't get to see the rest of the year. Some have even become members of my church because they first saw us banding together. And they said that they wanted to be a part of what we were doing in our community in the name of God. They wanted to be a part of what we were doing and the difference that we were making in bringing people joy and hope. If God can use barbecued chicken at a community festival in Green, New York, and God can use a storefront on 90th South in West Jordan, Utah, and God can use junk from a church rummage sale, and God can use two pieces of bread with something between them to bring hope to this world, beloved church, God can use you. So don't disqualify yourselves. Trust that little nudge from God and then see what God will do through your faithfulness. Amen.